Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Hello again. Good to have your company on Small Caps. I'm Peter Capsanis. Well, it's been a busy December for Western Australian-based explorer Mitre Mining Corporation. The Perth-based listed junior with the ASX code MMC has acquired a Chilean silver-gold project and has just announced multiple strong lithium anomalies from the first round of soil sampling at its Hillside project in the East Pilbara. So fair to say things are looking up and bright in 2024 for MMC. How much so? Well, to tell us more, I'm joined by Executive Chairman Ray Shorrocks. Ray, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, Peter.
So, as I mentioned, a busy run-up to Christmas, to say the least. Before we hone in on some of the finer details, please introduce the company to our audience, the ethos of the company, where its assets lie, and I guess what's the why for MMC?
That's a good question. Look, it is worth just digesting exactly the team. So those that aren't aware, you know, we really took control of this company, Mitre, in February this year with the view that we would change management, get our geos on board, and then look for another asset to complement what was already there. We put Pilbara in there very quickly, and that's proven to be a great success for us. But we also wanted something world-class, and we picked that up, as you've probably seen on the announcements, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and that gets passed by shareholders sometime in late January. So really happy with the way things are going. We have, of course, my partner in crime, Steve Parsons, who's joined us, along with Mike Naylor. Now, the three of us were the founding directors. I was the founding chairman of Bellevue Gold, where we took that from a $1 million company to a currently $2 billion. We hope to do the same again.
All right. So you're looking for another challenge already, were you?
Yes, indeed. Okay. Don't stop at one.
All right. Well, look, let's. So we should mention you've got those assets in the Pilbara. You've got a few assets on the East Coast, yeah. now in South America. So let's fly across to southern Chile, where you've acquired the Cerro Bayo Silver Gold Project. It began production in the mid-90s. It's been on care and maintenance, I think, for just over 12 months now. You said you're wanting to look for something world-class. So I've got to ask you, why get something like Cerro Bayo where that's been on care and maintenance since October 2022?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So maybe just go back a little bit. You know, you talked about it went into production in the mid-90s. In fact, it did with Coeur Mining. They did a lot of work there, and they became a producer all through the 2000s. They sold it then in about 2010, I believe, to another company, Mandalay Mining. Mandalay Mining, again, was producing, really put some real effort and backbone into building up the infrastructure around this particular asset. And then Equus acquired it from Mandalay after Mandalay had two fatalities at site. It felt it was best to leave that alone. No company ever likes a fatality. Equus took it over, and it really was mining the stockpiles, didn't really get behind the ore body. And you know, Peter, after interviewing us many times before, that we're all about understanding the ore body. So, you know, that explains where they sort of possibly went wrong, took on some debt, hence we've picked it up. Now, what have we picked up here? So we picked up at least $150 million worth of infrastructure. We've picked up 25 million ounces silver equivalent at over 220 grams per tonne. We see a very easy road to doubling that in the short term. We start drilling again in January. Yeah, so we're really going up. We're already taking over the cost of this project in anticipation of shareholders wanting us to do this. And we got all of that for 13 cents a silver equivalent ounce. Now, your listeners may really want to know, what does that mean? I don't understand silver. You know, traditionally, silver has been the poor cousin, hasn't it? the poor cousin of gold, right? It's not anymore. It really isn't. There are gold, there are silver bulls all over the place now, and primarily because it's now listed as a critical mineral. It's in a multitude of uses across the board for the transition into the new world net zero environment. So from our point of view, we've picked up this with already a stand-up start with great infrastructure at 13 cents a silver equivalent. And just up the road, just recently, SSR sold a heritage silver 40 million ounces in no man's land with no infrastructure, no access in by and large, for $1.30 a resource ounce. So there's 10 times plus we've got the infrastructure all ready to go. Now, that infrastructure, let's be really, really clear. That infrastructure comes with a lot of road working material, its own rigs, a fantastic core shed, all of the things you would expect to see in a functioning operating mine. That mine operates at about 1,600 tonnes per day, which is about 600,000 per annum. What was happening is there was so much stockpile there that, in fact, it would have taken them 80 years to get through that. So, again, a great example of somebody not right-sizing their plant for their ore body. So our first task is to understand this ore body. We think, in short order, with a bit of drilling, as I say, we start in January, we can get that approaching 100 million ounce equivalent in the short term.
Are you using local expertise on the ground? Are you exporting some knowledge from Australia across?
We're doing both, but what we've picked up is the old COO from Equus, and he's joining us, Damien Kerber. He is a South American bull when it comes to mining. He's worked everywhere around South America. So, you know, we've picked him up. But the local expertise, you know, it used to have 150 people operating at this mine, and those people are still in the surrounding areas. So we're pretty happy that we got a handful of people we can rely on immediately. And as we ramp up, we'll get more and more people.
Okay, so the infrastructure was obviously a carrot, I guess, as part of the acquisition. Yeah. In terms of the agreement, what are those terms and how are you funding the acquisition?
So funding the acquisition, we did a two-tranche placement last month where we raised $8.3 million at 20 cents a share. We had $2 million in the bank, more than enough to see us through to our first resource update, which we anticipate to be, you know, sometime before PDAC.
And it was a $5 million acquisition, is that right?
$4 million.
$4
million. Yeah, okay. So $4 million. So really just paying out debt and $500,000 to Equus to get kick them off. They'll mean Equus shareholders will have a sell with $500,000 in it, and they'll rebirth themselves when they find an asset, I suspect.
Okay, speaking of Equus, you've decided to also at the same time acquire the Los Domos project, I hope I got the pronunciation right, adjacent to Cerro Bayo. I'm assuming Cerro will facilitate any production from both areas, yeah?
That's right. So Equus had two assets, which we will explore regionally, which are about, you know, 30 kilometres away, which is Cerro Diablo and Los Domos. And once we've done our first resource update and explore around the old mill, and we're talking about very close, so we've got access to the mill. We could turn the mill on, Peter,
yep,
tomorrow if I wanted to. But, you know, as I said earlier, we don't need to, we won't. Let's understand this ore body. Let's understand how big this can be. And this can be quite large. When I was there last month with all our geos, you know, the outcropping to surface, I've never seen anything like it. And then when you add that we've got a town which is only 8 to 10 minutes by car, sealed roads away, you know, you don't have accommodation issues. You've got, you know, your workforce traveling to and from work every day, probably less time than you take to get to work.
Yeah.
Or that you're at home.
Sounds like it, yeah. So literally drive in, drive out.
That's it.
Well, negates the need for building a camp, I take it. So what
we have a camp there at the moment, though, which looks after 150 people if need be, fully kitchened out. So we'll still be able to feed them and do all the normal things that a mine will do in a two-shift arrangement.
So just circle back. Have you got enough? Have you got stockpiles as it sits right now?
Look, we've got small stockpiles, but that's not what our game plan is. As I say, it's really to get two things: is to continue drilling around the old mill, Tateo. If people have seen the map, they look for Tateo, which is the open pit that's there. We'll keep drilling around that, increase that resource. Then we'll move straight up to a few other areas and then across to Los Domos regionally and Cerro Diablo.
So I'm curious, right, this type of acquisition, you did, you know, admit that it was on something, you were looking for something world class, but has this been on the radar for some time? How did this?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it surfaced in March this year, so we've been looking at it for a long, long time. Negotiating took some, stops and starts, as they all do, but we finally got across the line in about August and then announced shortly thereafter once all the terms had been done and the due diligence has been done. There's about 3 months of due diligence went into this asset. Let's remember, it's in Chile. It is a very, very very mining-centric district. We have no support from the locals around there, but we wanted to make sure that we could assume tax losses, assume all the permitting that we had, and maintain operations as they had been prior to going into care and maintenance.
So you said drilling will start in January, so no risk for the wicked. Just one rig, or have you got multiple rigs?
We've got one rig going straight away, which is our rig. Yep. And we will put multiple rigs in there sometime in the first quarter.
Okay. All right. Let's head further home now to Hillside. Got lithium prospects there in the East Pilbara. You're also in good company. I saw you've got the likes of Global and Pilbara sort of nearby. First round of soil sampling and the results have you excited? Tell me more about it.
Yeah, sure. Look, these exceptional results from first pass soil sampling, what it does do, it reveals that we've got these critical minerals that you talk about, one of which you talked about, which is the lithium. But the other one, of course, is the rare earth elements that we also have picked up as well. So what's really exciting is this very large and consistent anomaly measuring something in the order of 2.5 kilometres by 2 kilometres with results of up nearly 500 ppm of lithium oxide. And they're key overlapping lithium indicators with a whole bunch of other rare earths, which is pretty good. I mean, what our intention from here is, we really will focus. Let's not gild the lily here. We really will focus on this world-class asset in Chile called Cerro Bio. But now, for shareholders, we have this other additional thing, which is really, talking to the team this morning, working out, shit, what's our budget here? It's about, I don't know, we've got to really do a lot more. So what you'll see from the Pilbara is extended soil sampling again, and we'll go into that southern area. People look at the map, they'll see what we're talking about, and we'll do some more mapping, soil sampling, and maybe we'll throw around a few holes in the new year.
Right, okay. So there could be some sampling and drilling further to be undertaken.
Yeah. But as I say, the focus is very much about Chile, Peter.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, are there any synergies between your Chilean project that complements your Australian assets or vice versa? I know it's a long stretch, but other companies are sort of doing it with, continents apart and getting multiple assets in different jurisdictions and countries. Is there any tangible synergy here at all between the two?
Really good question. And I mean that on a number of levels, because first and foremost, it helps complement what we already have for shareholders. So we have now multiple projects. That's the first thing. Second thing, given our team and the depth of geological knowledge about Western Australia, we can pull people out of some of other projects and send them up there and do some more groundwork to really work out what's there. I mean, what we are seeing is revealing, some of these things can be very, very large, as Pilbara started off exactly the same as this.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will send people up there. We'll do some more groundwork. But what the synergies are that we have people in Western Australia, it's a, you know, it's not far to get to, while at the same time we've got a workforce in Chile. You know, double the projects and you're still paying the same share price. How about that?
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. So before we wrap things up, Ray, you've been tipped as a stock to watch for 2024. Yeah. I could probably, you know, I'll have to, you know, ask a rhetorical, why is that? For any investor, retail investor watching and listening to this right now, why should mums and dads invest their hard-earned cash into Mitre Mining?
Yeah, it's a good question. And every executive should be able to answer this in an earnest and straightforward way. You are really backing a team here, right? This is a project, right? It has this infrastructure. We bought it incredibly cheaply. It has resource growth everywhere there. We are so confident of the prospectivity. But ultimately, your assets only as good as the people that are delivering the results that you hope they get. And as you know, with the team that we've got amalgamated together. So Tim Lennon, who's our chief geologist, best in the business, you know, ex-Northern Star. You've got, Damien Kerber, who was with Equus. He knows his asset back the front, been there for 4 years. He walked the ground with me, and there's not an inch he doesn't know and get excited about. And then, of course, I have Steve Parsons and Mike Naylor helping me on the ground in an executive level there. You don't get two better mining executives in this country. So you're really backing a great team who know what they're doing. And as I said, why this is one to watch is because we will work out this ore body. We will grow this resource, and then we'll think about production in the future.
All right. Well, sounds like there's more to come in 2024. Ray Sharrox, thanks for your time on Small Caps today, and have a Merry Christmas and, by the sounds of it, a prosperous new year.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate your time. I really do.